Shavua Tov. I'd like to share with you my drasha from this Shabbat. I reflected upon the terrible tragedy in Meron with the following title: Broken Hearts, Bonds of Love, and Hard Truths, Lessons from Meron. There's a Hasidic idea that the farthest distance in the universe is between the heart and the mind. And what this means is that when we are engaging our rational, cerebral, intellectual faculties, our hearts become closed. Alternatively, when we're engaging emotionally and our hearts are open, we struggle to engage our mind and our heart. And I think this is a very important concept, because at this moment in time, the right response is not a logical, rational one, because we have a tendency to judge, to seek to explain, to analyze, to cast blame. How did this happen? Who's responsible? How did this go wrong? Which politician? Which policeman? But we have to refrain from this very logical, rational approach. And we have to engage with this terrible tragedy from an emotional standpoint, from a place of connection, of love, of empathy, of comfort. We need to respond with an outpouring of love. That 45 fellow Jews were taken from us. And because of that, this last week, over 600 Jews have been sitting Shiva. And of course, there are thousands, if not tens of thousands of Jews who are traumatized from this terrible experience. Our initial response and our continuous response needs to come from the heart, needs to come from a place of connection and not a place of judgment, and not from a rational standpoint of trying to judge and to seek answers. And yet, we also need to think about this critically and internalize the lessons that need to be learned. And it's incredible to see how Am Yisrael responded to this last week, just starting with the first responders, who we have so much appreciation for, who have gone through so much this year with Corona, Zaka and Mada and the paramedics. You know, the army, Tzahal, sent over 8 helicopters to help evacuees on the night of Lag BaOmer. People were helping out. The outpouring of love, people donating to different families. It's unbelievable to see how Am Yisrael comes together during times of crisis. And indeed, nothing new here. We're coming together again. And you see in the news, I saw a video of some kids from HaShomer HaTzair going to visit and sit Shiva with Haredi families in Bnei Brak, just trying to connect. They said, this is our tragedy as well. We are part of Am Yisrael. Young people gathering in Rabin Square, singing together. There was one boy who got on TV who said, listen, I was pulled out of the pile from a policeman. I don't know who it was, but I'm getting on TV right now to seek him out, to thank him for saving my life. I too was trying to connect. Last Sunday night, I joined the live feed to watch the funeral of Donny Morris, Zichrono Livracha, 19-year-old boy from Bergenfield, New Jersey, who grew up in my hometown, who came here to study in Israel at Shalavim. A really sweet, sweet boy, attended Minyan his whole life, studying Daf Yomi. And I was watching this live funeral with over 80,000 people from around the world, because Jews want to connect and be there for each other. And the funeral was heart-wrenching, listening to his mother eulogize her son just as he's entering the world and entering adulthood was just heart-wrenching. And I noticed that I was watching the video that I'm connected to this kid more than I even thought so, because sitting behind the podium at the funeral was a friend of mine, Shalom Morris, who happens to serve as the rabbi of Bevis Mark Synagogue in central London. And it suddenly hit me, oh my God, Donny Morris, Shalom Morris, and my friend Shalom, Rabbi Shalom Morris, is the uncle of this young boy who was killed. And so I wrote to Shalom when I saw this, and I said, Shalom, how long are you here in Israel for? And he said, I'm here the next 12 hours, and I got in the car and drove to Shalavim and sat with him and was there with the family and just watched people coming in to connect and give comfort to this family. And Shalom told me that one of the more challenging things about this is that when there's a terrorist attack, Chas v'Shalom, lo aleinu, we know who the enemy is and we know a lesson we have to learn from this, that no one's going to kick us out of our land and we are going to stand firm against terror. But when something like this incident happens and it's because of human negligence, and it feels preventable, it's so much harder to make meaning and it's so much harder to deal with the tragedy. And so I want to share with you what I believe are a few lessons that we need to internalize from this story. How do we make sure that we learn these lessons so that these 45 people who were killed, that they were not killed for naught, that they did not die for naught? How could we make sure that their lives, their loss will be meaningful? And the answer is that we have to internalize what I believe to be the following lessons. I want to quote a Gemara from Masechet Yoma, Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph. This is a bizarre and crazy Gemara. This is a Gemara that was quoted by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal after the murder of Rabin. Rav Moshe Lichtenstein Shlita, his son, also quoted it this week. I want to share with you Maasei Shayu Shneim Shavin V'Ratzin V'Olim Bakevesh. The way it worked in the Beit HaMikdash is that the Kohanim would compete, would vie for who could fulfill the mitzvah of Trumat Hadeshen, of raising up the ashes from the Mizbeach every single morning. And the Kohen who could run up the ramp and get there first, he would get to perform this first ritual on the day, in the morning in the Beit HaMikdash. But what happened once is that one Kohen was running up and a second one was just behind him. And the first Kohen gets there first and he wins. And the second Kohen pulls out a knife and he stabs his fellow Kohen in cold blood. Murder, murder in the Mikdash. How do you respond to this shocking incident? What do you do? And we're told that Amad Rabbi Tzadok gets up on the steps of the Beit HaMikdash and he says, Achenu Beit Yisrael Shimu, my brethren, listen. He says there's this idea of Egla Arufa, there's a halal, there's a dead corpse in the Beit HaMikdash. And someone needs to take responsibility for it. Now who's going to bring this Egla Arufa, this calf that is brought when we don't know who the murderer is? And he says there are only two options. One option is that the ear, the city of Yerushalayim, the people need to bring a Egla Arufa. And the other option is the Azarot, which means the Kohanim. The Kohanim, the priestly class. And how did the people in the Beit HaMikdash respond? Ga'u kol ha'am bivchiya. Everybody cried and wept. Now notice what's missing from this Gemara. Rabbi Tzadok doesn't say that the Kohen who commits this murder should have to bring the Egla Arufa. I mean, isn't it obvious? He's the one who's responsible. Take him to the Beit Din and stone him. And that's it. And remove this evil from our midst. Why doesn't he say that? And the answer is because this Kohen who committed murder was incentivized to act badly. Why? Because there was something rotten in the system. The whole ma'arechet was corrupt. There was a problem with the way it was set up. The setup in the Beit HaMikdash incentivized bad behavior. And what that means, and the meaning of this for us, is that what happened in Meron is not just the responsibility of the people who were in Meron that night, whether it's the policemen or the politicians. The responsibilities on us as well, as a chavra, as a society, as a people. Because what happened there is a reflection of certain things that are rotten at the core that need to be fixed in our chavra, as a people, that we need to work on and that we are responsible for. Now, what do these two options represent? The azarot, or the ear. The azarot represents the leadership class, the kohani. Maybe they're responsible. And the ear, Anshe Yerushalayim, who might be to bring an Egla Rufa, represents the people, that's us. And I believe that on both these levels, for our leadership, as well as us as a society, there are lessons that we need to learn. The first lesson is for our leaders. And on a political level, and the lesson here is so obvious, it's almost a distraction, but I'm going to say it anyway. And that is that this whole event at Meron should not have taken place this year. Because of Corona, for one. But number two, it shouldn't have taken place because the overcrowding, and if it did take place, it needed to take place according to health regulations. There was no doubt that there were a lot of pressure was put on political officials and the police to go ahead with this event against the assessment of health regulators and against the assessment of the Misrad HaBriut. And what happens in our government is that there's a chokehold on the leadership because certain interest groups make ultimatums and demand that things have to happen. And if not, they're going to quit the government or they're going to cry and scream and yell. And they are putting Am Yisrael in chokehold. And this is not responsible governance. And we cannot go on further with particular parties or interest groups only thinking about themselves and their own needs, and not thinking about the needs of all of Am Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael. When you are in a leadership position, whether a prime minister or a president, the people come first. The Am comes first, not your own political, future or your legal wranglings. And when you are a political party in the Knesset, you have to think about the Klal and not just your own interests. And what happened here is that we have a state functioning within a state. We have certain people who think the rules don't apply to them, and the state is too weak to deal with this. And it's very dangerous for our government and our society, and it could be Haredi parties, and it could also be groups within our own Datilumi community. It doesn't matter who it is, this cannot go on. When you're in a position of power, you have to think about the needs of all the people and not just your own constituents. This is the lesson of Corona. The writing has been on the wall. That's the lesson for our political leadership. But on a social level, for us as a chevra, let us think about the words of Rashbi himself. There's a well-known machloket in Masechet Brachot Daf Lamed Hei Amud Bet, a machloket between Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What balance should we find in life between working and learning Torah? On the one hand, it says, Lo Yamush, Sefer HaTorah Zemipicha, you can never stop learning Torah. On the other hand, it says, Ve'asafta Diganecha V'tiroshecha V'yitzarecha, you need to work. Rabbi Ishmael resolves the contradiction between these two psukim by telling us, Hanheg Bahen Kederech Eretz, you have to follow reality. You have to work a little bit, and you try to learn Torah as well. Do your Daf Yomi, go to Minyan. We have to make a Parnasah. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai responds, Efshar Adam Choresh Bishat Charisha, Vizorea Bishat Zriya Vekotzer Bishat Ketzira. Torah Mateyaleh, if you plow when it's time to plow, and you harvest and you seed, what's going to happen to Torah? There will never be time for Torah study. Rather, he says, he encourages a very extreme approach. Learn all the time. And if you follow Hashem's word, Hashem will take care of our work and our parnasah. Hashem will provide. Now the Gemara concludes with Abaye's statement, Am Rabbi Harbe Asuk Rabbi Ishmael Ve'al Tabi Adan. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai vidlo al tabi adan. Many tried the path of Rabbi Ishmael and they succeeded. Others who tried the path of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai vidlo al tabi adan, they did not succeed. Why did they not succeed? It's not that Rashbi's wrong, but Rashbi is telling us what's good for the elite, the spiritual elite who are mystically oriented or have Kabbalistic insight. But for the reality that we live in and inhabit, Rashbi is not a reasonable possibility for us. We need to follow the path of Derech Eretz. Now, friends, we're living in a world where people are divorced from reality. We have lost our Seichel Hayashar. But let's go back to the basics. There's something called the laws of physics. And if you take an apple and you drop it, and you let go of it, it's going to fall because there's something called gravity. There are cause and effects. If you don't wear a mask, you're going to get infected with corona. If you don't sign up for Tzahal, then we won't have enough soldiers and you can't win a war. If you don't work or pay taxes to the government will not have any money in its coffers. If you break the rules, then our democracy flounders. If you spread misinformation, truth no longer exists. If you disregard health regulations, disasters will take place. If you text when you drive, you are more likely to crash. And if you use divisive political rhetoric, it will lead to violence eventually. And if you ride an electric bicycle on Rechov Achuza, you know, without a helmet, with your girlfriend sitting in the front, with AirPods in your ears, going in the opposite direction of traffic, blasting music while on your phone, well, it's likely you're going to end up in the hospital, Chas V'Shalom. And of course, if you pack too many people into a place and there is no place for them to go, and everyone's rushing to go to the kever of Rashbi, and everyone's in a frantic mood to get to the top of Meron, well, it's more likely that a stampede is going to happen. Again, there is no malicious intent here, but this is just nature. This is reality. This is the way of the world. And we cannot think that Rashbi is for us. Rabbi Ishmael is for us. We need to be grounded in reality And we think that we are beyond reality, and that is deeply problematic. And this goes as well with regards to rules in general in Israel. We're very lax about rules and regulations. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, v'nishmartem me'od l'nafshotechem. And here in Israel, we have a very casual attitude towards rules and regulations. Smoch alai, hakol hiya beseder. The rules apply to everyone. Can't you just make an exception for me? You know, I get it. I get it. That it's the chutzpah Yisraelit, hayuzma Yisraelit, which is also our strength. We could not have destroyed the Osirak nuclear reactor in Iraq in 1981 without a little bit of chutzpah, and Entebbe and Ariel Sharon crossing the Suez and Startup Nation. But what we forget is that there is a downside, a danger to this Israeli gvura, this overconfidence. There's another side to the coin, and that side to the coin is that if we don't follow rules and regulations, and if you have too many people at Meron, and you you don't do the checkups that needed to be done, then people are going to get hurt. And that is unfortunately what happened in this particular incident. There's another lesson, and the final lesson that I think we need to learn from this is that we need to reassess the hierarchy of our religious values and our priorities, because they have gotten skewed. I want to be very clear that I believe that going to Meron is a spiritual experience, a valuable spiritual experience. And anybody who went there, I believe that they were going the Shem Shamayim to connect to the values and Torah of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I deeply believe that. And I don't critique anybody who wants to go to Meron to experience what happens there. It's very uplifting, and people have spoken about how special the experience it is. But we need to see this experience of Meron from the right perspective. It's not Yom Kippur. I can understand if the government says we're going to bend the rules just a little bit to make sure that Am Yisrael could daven together on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year. Meron is not a mitzvah. To go to Meron is not a mitzvah in the Torah. It's not a mitzvah midrabanan. It's not even a minhag. It's a fun, inspiring religious experience. But it is not beyond that. And we've lost sense of our religious priorities. Our values are skewed. To push, to demand, to make an ultimatum that Meron has to happen this year at all costs, that doesn't make sense. That is not, those are not true Torah values, and that is not what we stand for. And whether you were going to Meron or not on that night, I think we need to consider for ourselves that sometimes we seek out religious highs instead of embracing the quiet but wholesome and stable rhythm of daily Jewish living. Going to Minyan, davening Mincha and Harvit, learning a little bit of Torah, doing Chesed, Staka. The basics. Meron is a high and it's great, but that's not the foundation of Jewish life. And we need to have these things in perspective. Now, as we move towards Shavuot, we hope in Davin that we can come together, just like Am Yisrael standing at Matan Torah, at Kabbalat HaTorah, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, Am Echad B'Leil Echad, the Jewish people were standing together. But what brought them together was not tragedy and not crisis and not loss, but a sense of shared values, shared vision, shared concern, shared responsibility for one another. And my hope, my tefillah at this point, is that we will come together with a shared vision, with shared responsibility to rebuild anew our chavra, to reconnect to each other, to rebuild the covenant that Medinat Yisrael and Knesset Yisrael represent. All in our own ways, we have so much that we need to internalize from this terrible incident. Shelo neida od tsar. We shouldn't know any more pain. And Hashem should heal all of the hearts and all those who have lost loved ones. Hashem should heal the hearts of Am Yisrael. Umacha Hashem dima me'al kopanim v'cherpat amo yasir me'al kol ha'aretz. Shavua tov.